The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper. Alex McFarland is out today. He's probably traveling, getting ready to go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, where we will be tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, Veterans Park downtown. We're looking forward to that. Festival Park downtown, I should say. And I hope that you can come if you're in that area. We hear a lot of people are headed that way. Alex has gone ahead. He's doing some preliminary work, making sure everything is ready to go. And we'll be broadcasting from Fayetteville tomorrow, if everything goes right, according to technology. Brent's sitting across from me, and he's nodding his head. That's right, Brother Bert. And so we're going to try to come to you from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Now, if you're in Fayetteville, Arkansas, don't get that mixed up. I'm telling you, every time I say Fayetteville around here in Northeast Mississippi, the first response is University of Arkansas. And I say, no, the wrong Fayetteville. Mm. And so it's Fayetteville, North Carolina. And setting in today is someone that's been on one time before. And honestly, we've been trying and invited him, but he's such a busy guy. Everybody wants him on their program. Is Abraham Hamilton III. Welcome, Abe.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here with you.
Okay, I was going to write down your title, and I didn't have room for it. Used to, Brian Fisher and I, we talked about who had the longest titles. You've come along, and you've kind of, I think, displaced us. Now, what is that title?
I didn't give myself a title, so I didn't do it. My title officially is Public Policy Analyst.
Okay.
For AFA.
But I want to tell a joke. I know we're going to get to James, and I want you to respond to it. This is one of my favorite stories. Mm. It was about Ronald Reagan and Nancy, and they were in a cemetery going through it, and they came along this marker. It said, "Here lies an honest man and a politician." And Ronald looked at Nancy and says, "Nancy, what about that?" And she said, "What do you mean? Two men buried in the same grave." So I say that. Okay, now here it is with Abe.
I think I have an idea what's coming.
An attorney and a preacher. has there been any conflict in that, brother?
No, actually.
Amen.
It has not been any conflict. And if and I'm sure the listeners to Exploring the Word know this, but if you go back to America's founding era, in order to become a lawyer back then, you had to have the equivalent of a seminary degree, because the prevailing understanding was our constitutional republic is built upon not just a biblical worldview, generally speaking, but the scripture. So how can you understand American law if you don't understand God's law?
Amen, brother.
So we've drifted from that, but it hadn't been a hot conflict historically, and it should be a conflict today, but I know practice seems to dictate otherwise.
Well, brother, I just want to tell you, I enjoy listening. Is it a minute that you have each morning? I listen to you every morning coming in. I'm listening to your minute comment, and then you're on several of the programs, mm-hmm. and I appreciate it. And I just wanted to give a shout out to you and say thank you so much.
I mean that.
Well, we're in James chapter 3, and again, it's going to be talking about the tongue, and we want to talk about that. The first two verses are you know, they kind of introduce it, so they're general in principle, but then it's going to get very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read the first two verses here. James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment." Now, we're going to come back to that a little bit, Abe. I read that to Abe earlier, and he said, "Thank you, Brother Bert, for having me on to teach today, since judgment is very strict." Verse 2 says, "For we all stumble in many things." Brother, I want to say amen to that. That's mm-hmm. just so true. We all have areas and issues that, we deal with. Mm-hmm. We stumble. And it said blind spots is another. I'm not trying to interchange that, but we got blind spots. We don't
Very
know
well.
About.
Yeah, which
we
is why the Christian faith was never meant to be lived out on an island. We have community to aid us with the stumbling and the blind spots.
You got it. And it says, "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." Mm. Okay, so here it is. you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
As a teacher of the Word of God, a prophet in the Old Testament was a teacher. I always say preaching without teaching is probably very thin, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And some teaching without some preaching is probably pretty boring. Mm. You catch what I'm saying?
I get that exactly.
Yeah. And so here we're talking about teachers. But in the Old Testament, a prophet that would bring the Word of God, there was a high calling on them. They used the word. They got a word from God. They got a vision from God, or they got the burden from the Lord. And that burden's pretty heavy, isn't it? To make sure you're doing it right.
That's exactly right. And the Old Testament, which I know you know very well, the burden was so high that if you erred, you didn't have room to go back and post your edit to your declaration on your Facebook page. You didn't get that opportunity.
That's right. It's like a text. You sent it. Okay, it's out there.
It's done.
So here it is. Notice it says, my brethren. Again, when you look at chapter 1, verse 1, he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes. So we're talking about basically saved Hebrews, okay?
Yes.
And who are we to launch in on it? Because we're saved.
Yes.
As believers, what's good for the saved Hebrews, the saved Jews, is good for the saved Gentiles.
That's exactly right. And every time I get to the Epistle of James, and you correct me wherever if I'm wrong in any of this area, Pastor Burt, I always get struck by the fact that this is an epistle written by James, who grows up in the house with Jesus.
That's him.
You know, who, although growing up in the house with Jesus, does not convert to be a follower of the way until after Jesus is resurrected.
After the resurrection.
So you have the weight of James's epistle that strikes me every time is that you have a person writing with the impetus that please grasp this, because although I grew up in the house with him, I didn't see this until the resurrection.
Amen.
So you have the benefit of having my testimony through the person of who I am, knowing that, man, I had some blind spots. I had some areas where I stumbled so much so. Like, for example, when the scripture says when he goes to his hometown and the Bible says he doesn't do many works because his hometown people, including his family, is saying that, nah, he can't be the Messiah. I know where he grew up.
He's the carpenter's son, man.
No. James more than likely was in that group saying that group. Then.
Matter of fact, one time they kind of accused him of being out of his mind.
That's exactly right.
And so we have this brother, and I say that half-brother.
Yes.
This brother who has changed his whole life. You know, there's always a little competition between brothers.
It is.
Abraham.
Yeah.
And here is James, who recognizes the lordship of Christ. Listen, I can't remember when I did not know Jesus was Lord, but when it changed my life as a 12-year-old and later on as a 17-year-old, okay? Mm. I came to Christ at 12. Mm. He really did change my life. But at 17, there was, I would say, a situation in my life where his lordship really started coming into my life, Lord over everything I do, even my driving, my dating, you know?
Yeah.
And what happens, people may get saved, and then new things come in their life. Guess what they need to do? Bring everything subject to the lordship of Christ.
Yes.
And I think that's why you have people that are you know, they're Christians, but, man, they've got issues in their life. All of us have stumbling blocks. All of us have some issues, okay?
Yeah.
But these are very severe, and we can look and say, man, you know, it looked like they would see that.
Mm-hmm.
Lordship of Christ is very important. I think James demonstrates that according to what you just said, brother.
I agree 100%. And I think that is the vantage point that he's writing from when we're reading his words in this epistle.
Okay. So he introduces us about the word and the bridle, the whole body. Now, in verse 3, he's going to start concentrating on one part. And notice what he says. And I'm going to read verses 3 and following together. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body.
Mm.
Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, now here it is, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. He gives three, I would say, vivid illustrations about that which is small controlling that which is large. Mm. Let me say it in this political season, which was huge. Okay. Let's not get started on
it. I'm not going anywhere. I just find it funny.
I couldn't resist it. I just saw it. Okay. But here it says, the bit in the horse's mouth. Now, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have a lot of horses, but I had a little bit. Mm. They're just put in their mouth, and you can sit up there with one hand and the reins, and a good horseman will control that. I enjoy the Olympics, but one of the things that I enjoy is the equestrian event, when they've got these huge horses that are, what, 4 or 5 times bigger than the rider?
Yeah.
And the rider's up there holding them, and they're jumping the gates, they're jumping the fence, they're jumping the water, and it just beats everything. And the bits in the horse's mouth controls that big horse.
And with very little effort
employed. The less effort visualized, the higher the score.
That's right. That's right. And it's amazing because and I think James was seizing on this, that you have such a little member, because we know in other places, Jesus even said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So when you understand it, it's really an explanation out of the wellspring or the geyser of the heart. What comes out of our lips, literally, the scripture unfolds, is an overflow of really who we are our heart.
Yeah.
Which is why I often say, when people apologize for something that's said, it's not always that they're sorry for believing or feeling what they felt. They oftentimes are regretful for the consequences of what they've said.
Again, in political season, and again, we're not on politics, but it does reveal things. When a candidate says something off the cuff or says something quick, it probably reveals more about them than that planned speech.
I think James is hitting on that, how such a small member can do so much damage, how a rudder can guide a ship. I think James is seizing on the fact, because that rudder really is the overflow of what the ship is.
Here it is, this big ship, individuals on the ship.
Yeah.
And yet that rudder is controlling the direction. It's powerful. And then fire, then the negative consequence, which is a little spark or a little fire sets on the forest fire.
Yeah.
I mean, dry season, you know, out in California and Arizona and those areas out there a lot, we always catch that, you know, during the dry season, and they're talking about campers, and people talk about those that smoke, and they would thump a cigarette out at a certain place, and just that cigarette butt put out there can start a huge fire.
Yeah.
That's how powerful the tongue is.
And it really, man, I love the Word of God, because it really explains how our society and our culture is so primed to be set ablaze. Like, the conditions that would allow for a small flick from a cigarette or a small blaze to end up into a widespread forest fire is a combination of the dry air as well as the forest things that are fueling it. And so we're ready to receive the flame, is what I'm saying.
That's it, brother.
Our culture is ripe. And, you know, as a kid, people say, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can't hurt you. I'd agree. Words can do some inflict some severe damage.
I'll give you something that really, every idle word will be brought into judgment.
I don't know
of all the verses in the Bible that people have asked me about, that I sit and scratch my head and wonder. I wonder about that one. You know, every idle word will be brought into judgment. We better be careful what we say. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Abraham Hamilton III, Bert Harper with you today. We're thankful that you come. We're going to come back and go through the book, third chapter of James. Then we'll finish it, and then we'll take your phone calls. Don't go away.
On October 6th and 7th, College of the Ozarks in beautiful Branson, Missouri, will host the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford, and from the American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III.
The founders enshrined religious liberty as the first among the freedoms protected in the Bill of Rights because they recognized that the prosperity of the American Republic rose or fell with its religious freedom.
As our nation spirals into a deeper moral pit, this event may reconnect attendees with the intents of the Founding Fathers. It's high time Christians did something to preserve our liberties before they're lost forever. The Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty is designed to inspire participants with a greater resolve through better understanding of the issue. The cost is $50 per person, and student admission is free. More information is available at AFR.net.
This is Holy Land Moments with Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, founder of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
The Psalms are a wonderful source of wisdom, and there's no better place to start than Psalm 1, which describes two distinct pathways in life, the wise, godly path, and the path of the wicked and ungodly. One path leads to true life and joy, the other leads to death and destruction. Notice that word delight. We don't often associate obedience with delight, but for pious Jews, observing the commands of the Torah are not a burden, but a source of delight as we obey God's word. And our reward for such obedience is a fruitful, prosperous life, in contrast to the wicked, who are like chaff that the wind blows away. More wisdom for life can be found in Psalm 19, which focuses on our response to God as the creator and lawgiver. God's creation, our world, and the universe beyond it is certainly majestic, but it reveals an even more majestic creator. We cannot truly appreciate nature without recognizing how truly awesome God its creator is. A common theme to both Psalms is the value of God's law, which David refers to as perfect, trustworthy, right and radiant, pure, eternal, sure, and altogether righteous. Indeed, there is no greater wisdom than to cherish the Word of God.
As we approach the high holy days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, thousands of poor Jewish families in Israel and the former Soviet Union are unable to afford food for these special days. Visit 18min.com to learn how you can turn 18 ordinary minutes into extraordinary relief. That's 18min.com.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're in James chapter 3. And again, Abraham Hamilton III, well, you'll hear me call him Abe. He is with us today as our guest host, and we appreciate him coming in as Alex again, preparing for the Fayetteville, North Carolina, big prayer meeting, heart and soul, 5 o'clock down in the middle of town at the park. And so we hope you'll join us there. Abe, let me ask you a question, and it's kind of from verse 8 of chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Can a man tame his tongue by himself?
No, sir. Absolutely. No, sir. Verse 8 says it just like you said. Can a man tame his tongue by himself? Not in this lifetime.
No. So way. We got to have help.
We have to have the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit.
Okay. Thinking about a psalm that says, where does my help come from? Mm. Comes from the hills.
That's right.
The Lord as That's he right. comes down. That's so right. So we need help. So this starts, if you have a problem with your tongue, gossip is mm-hmm. a problem. Filthy language. Let's talk about little things that you can do, because it's going to talk about cursing and blessing, mm-hmm. okay? So let's talk about the negative first on mm-hmm. this one. So you can gossip.
Mm-hmm.
You can curse.
Mm-hmm.
Filth can proceed out of your mouth. Even in the issues of telling the truth, you can speak the truth and it not be in love.
That's right.
And it's wrong.
That's absolutely right.
Now, I think we here at AFR, that's what we have to watch more than anything. We want truth. But sometimes because of, I know I'm in this category, so I'm mm-hmm. not putting everybody in that category and me not. In my enthusiasm to try to get that truth across, my heart might be right, but my voice sounds angry.
That's right. And Apostle Paul would say, you have a zeal, but not according to knowledge.
Exactly. And I need to, sometimes I got to tone it back.
Yeah.
I really do. You're a preacher.
Yeah.
If you had to, I'm venomous about this, but those people who are listening to me, mm-hmm. in place of taking the warning, they are receiving what they perceive as anger.
Absolutely.
That's how, I hate to say that, but I've been there and done that.
Absolutely. And I've often encountered people to say things like, well, you know, that's just who I am. That's just the way I am. That's just my personality. And to that, I often reply that Christ died to change our personalities.
Amen. And he has, and he's still working on me. And I try to speak out of those things, people who are making horrible decisions concerning their identity, sexual identity, making decisions about life and death, for speaking it with a heart of compassion and love, and saying, God's got a better way.
Yeah.
God's got something better. What you're doing is destructive. You know, now, sometimes they look at that as hate speech, but it is. But we still need to speak the truth.
Absolutely. And it, and I think also involved in this, in taming the tongue, is also being sensitive to when to speak. Just because we may know what to say doesn't mean it's time to say.
Okay, I don't say this very much on the radio, but I say it quite often with people. Kenny Rogers wrote a song about that, and he says, know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Okay, now I know that's about cards, but what you just said is true. We need to know from God when to speak and when to be silent. The book of Ecclesiastes says something about that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It says, know a time to speak and a time to be silent.
There is.
Let's do this. As we look at these, it says it defiles the whole body. Now, that really just, you know, what you sow, you'll gather. And when you sow seeds of destruction with your tongue, there's going to be a reaping from the whole body. You're not going to be able to separate it from that. And that's the passage of Scripture. And it says in verse 8, I've already alluded to it, and you said it, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, here it is. We've talked about the cursing. I want to talk about the blessing. With it, we bless our God and Father. We can bless God. Praise is good as unto the Lord. Preaching the word with truth is good unto the Lord. And so we bless our Lord Jesus Christ with our tongue.
What an amazing thought to know all that God has done for us, to think that we actually can bless God.
And, you know what we do, and I was taught this, I bet you were as too, find a prayer that's in the Bible, like when Paul prayed, a confessional prayer that David prayed, and pray it back to God. You know, because we already know it was received by him. And now sometimes when I pray, okay, Lord, am I right? Am I, you know, what I'm asking? I know my heart is true as best I can. But, you know, you bless God, memorizing Scripture and quoting Scripture back unto the Lord. You're not saying, okay, Lord, this is what you're saying. I'm holding you to it. If that's your attitude, you need to have a heart examination. But it is good, and say, Lord, when Paul prayed this, you did great works in his life. Lord, I'm praying it do a great work in my life. Isn't that the sense of what it means to, I think it does bless the Lord. Let's talk about praise a little bit. I enjoy praising the Lord. I have some friends from Uganda. They come and they're called Ugandan Thunder. They've been on this program. They've been on AFR quite a few times when they're here in America touring. Ted Moody, who's a dear friend of mine, is the founder, and it helps orphanages there in Uganda. And I'll never forget the first time I saw this children's choir. And Ted introduced me. He says, now, we want you to know that in Uganda, worship is a total body experience. And when those children was praising the Lord and just lifting up holy hands and the feet were moving, I have to admit, I felt right at home. I said, okay, I found where I'm, you know, at home. And because it's hard for me, you know, get certain things. I heard people say, well, that praise, if it makes your body move, it means it's, well, I don't think that. I think God is receiving that as an offering unto him.
How did the Lord respond to David, you know, when he danced?
Yeah, and his wife got onto him, and the wife is the one that
the Lord
chastised. Isn't that the truth? Verse 12 says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. You know, out of our mouth, what's coming out of our mouth? We need to. Is that a good way to examine your heart, seeing what you're saying?
I think so.
About who? About your friends, your enemies, your everything?
About everybody, really.
About everybody.
I think a good way to measure where you are in your Christian walk is to evaluate what comes out of my mouth. You know, because obviously, as I said before, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the things that come out of our mouths are great indicators of what actually is in our hearts.
Okay. If you think we're talking about you, we are. And because we're talking about ourselves. Been there, done that. You already said it. You know, wished I could have take that back.
Yeah.
And
I tell you what it'll do. It'll cause you to, as James says, to become slow to speak.
Amen. Have you ever heard this? God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason.
Yes.
And let's talk about one more thing before we go to verses 13 through 18. And there's some good stuff there. There's one verse, particular verse. Mm. I already told Abe that I said I want to settle down there. But let's talk about your tongue in your home, okay? At work, at church, at the ball fields, okay? Everywhere. Every idle word will be brought into judgment. Again, I don't know everything that means. Somebody may want to call in, let us know what it means. I don't think human beings can get that full grasp. I've studied it. Mm. It's bigger than that. God knows, and He knows what's going on. But the intent of the heart, the tongue does reveal, doesn't it?
It does.
So get a clean heart, and you do that by coming to Jesus Christ, His Savior, confessing your sin, not leaving anything unturned. No area of your life is untouchable. Every area of your life is touchable by the Spirit of God. Mm. You have no reserves. You don't have a hidden room. You don't have a hidden closet. You don't have a hidden drawer. Everything is open to Him. Mm. And he can clean it up. Now, verses 13 through 18, let me start reading. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Chapter 2 is all about good works. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he brings it on down into chapter 3. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, there's what you were talking about, Abe, in the heart. Mm-hmm. So do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Wow. Now, earthly, sensual, demonic truth. He didn't just give us one area. He gave us three. Yeah. You catch what I'm saying? Earthly. Mm. It is from the grasp, lowest.
It seems to be like a crescendo.
It is. That's exactly right. It's in the spiritual realm. It is in the emotional realm. And it is in the natural realm. It's everything we are. Mm. And you got to be careful. I think it's demonstrating the need of the Spirit of God in our lives. You know?
I think it is. And it's amazing that James doesn't contest the fact that seemed like the pieces come together. It doesn't say that it's not some form of wisdom. It doesn't say that it's not, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't say that the formula doesn't calculate, but it goes on to explain, no, this is earthly, sensual, and demonic.
Okay, real quickly, and again, you just can't help but go in a few places. Worldly wisdom, man, we're seeing that tried to be displayed.
Mm.
The Supreme Court making a rule concerning marriage, okay? Planned Parenthood being justified, and politicians and judges defending their right to sell. You can say, we don't defend their right to sell body parts, but when you keep on funding them, you are justifying them selling baby body parts.
Yes, you are. You are.
That's of the world, isn't it?
And according to James, it's worldly, unspiritual, and demonic.
Demonic. Okay. Alex and I, we've got a whole list of areas that we're going to go into. One of them is healing, but one of them also is spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back in the next time, we're going to just settle down and we're going to go through some of these. And and spiritual warfare is real. I'm telling you.
No doubt.
And the only way to defeat him is walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's
be
it.
Filled with the Spirit.
That's
be filled
it.
With him. Let him come in. Now let's go on. Now here's the verse that really just. I underlined it, and one particular word just stood out. For where envy and self-seeking exist. Okay, envy is desiring to be like them. Self-seeking is my own way. What happens? Confusion and every evil thing will be there. Now, I underlined the word confusion.
Mm.
I think possibly, and it just occurred to me today in this, we try to find a word, one word that identifies a generation. Confusion would identify where we are right now. Gender identity, mm-hmm. complete confusion. Mm-hmm. Marriage, complete confusion. Life beginning, complete confusion. I mean, it is just confused. Our generation is confused. What an opportunity for AFR, especially exploring the Word, mm-hmm. to be able to say, you don't have to be confused. Amen. You can come to the Word and find truth. Amen. What an opportunity. Yes, it's that. I remember buying my wife the engagement ring. I knew better than me to pick it out and give it to her. My taste is not good, Abe. Okay? So we went to the store, and she knew my limitations far as money. Okay, we had that understanding. But when they put that ring out on display, they didn't bring out a white, yellow cloth. They didn't bring out a gold cloth or blue cloth. They brought out a very dark, dark cloth.
Yeah.
So that ring could pick up all the distinctions. Mm-hmm. Where does the light of Christ shine in our hearts the brightest? In a very dark place. I know it's bad, you know? I know it's bad out there. But what a time to shine for Jesus Christ, Abe. And God's brought you to AFR for such a time as this. Give a little testimony about that. We got if you can do it in 2 minutes.
Sure, I can do it in 2 minutes. I can be shorter than 2 minutes. I'd never imagined that I would be here at AFR. I just came to visit friends of mine, the Addisons. Will and Mickey Addison, and they know that I do some preaching and teaching, and so they asked me while I was here would I mind doing devotions for our morning devotions here for our staff, and I did, and that resulted in me meeting with Mr. Wildman, and here we are. I'm a part of AFR now, and that's literally how it happened.
It is, and I know it's Esther, but for such a time as this, and I praise the Lord you're here. I just wanted to say that. So don't ignore the little things that may result in big changes.
Amen.
To do a little, quote, and I don't mean this in a negative way, a little devotion.
Yeah.
I mean, about 20 minutes, right?
Yeah,
about 20 minutes.
That was it.
God used it in a great way.
Amen.
Verses 17 and 18 as we close. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Nearly sounds like the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen. It does.
Now, here we know Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Peter talks about putting on the armor of God. Even Peter talks about that. Mm-hmm. And here James is talking about putting on some of these characteristics and qualities that only come from the Spirit of God working in our lives.
That's right. And I love how he starts off with the wisdom being first pure, because I often reflect on the fact that Christ came not only to modify our conduct, but he came to make us pure.
Amen.
You know,
undefiled.
Undefiled. That he came not just to change our behavior, but to change our hearts.
The opposite of that for a man is a double-minded man.
Amen.
You know, it's pure for his working in our heart is single-mindedness.
Amen.
We have a single, the way it says in the Old Testament, our face is set as
like
a flint toward God.
Yes.
Brother, that's what we desire.
Amen.
And that's what James is saying. This is where we need to go. Finally, verse 18. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We have peace. We need to sow peace. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number. Abe and I will do our best to answer your questions. And we hope that you're listening. Tell someone real quickly to tune in. And stay tuned for more. 888-589-8840.
At which service do most people attend your church? Bill McLeod, a Canadian pastor, was challenged by the famous revivalist Duncan Campbell that if he would make the prayer meeting the most important meeting of the week and had more people coming out to their midweek prayer service than to Sunday morning worship service, God would show up in an amazing way. That's exactly what happened. As they began to pour time and effort and energy and resources into their Wednesday prayer meeting, more people began attending that time than were attending their Sunday morning worship service. From these meetings was birthed the Great Canadian Revival. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Amazing things can happen when we prioritize prayer. This is Byron Paulus, CEO of Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events warning us the end times are near? Explore 10 critical issues facing our world in Dr. David Jeremiah's upcoming book, People Are Asking, Is This the End? On sale worldwide October 4th. Pre-orders available now for a gift of any amount to Turning Point, which include exclusive pre-order bonus offers. Hurry, offer expires October 3rd. Pre-order your copy at davidjeremiah.org today.
Freedom is an amazing gift from God, and He's given us an incredible number of heroes charged with the job of protecting it. I'm Eric Horner, and I'd like to invite you to be a part of doing something really special for those who've answered freedom's call. On Saturday, September 17th, Operation Tankful of Love, in partnership with American Family Radio, will again be working to bless the men and women serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with a gift of some free gas.
Living the life of a soldier is rough with being away from family and having to deal with just the environment that's there sometimes, and this kind of stuff raises morale.
The sacrifice that you guys make makes the sacrifice that we make so much worth it.
If you'd like to be a part of Operation Tankful of Love 2016, you can give us a call at 877-968-3742 to make your tax-deductible donation. You can also donate online by going to tankfulofloveof.com. Won't you join us in being the hands and feet of Jesus to those who serve?
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, how do we keep jobs from leaving the United States? I'll ask one of Trump's economic advisors, Steve Moore. Nayla Rush from the Center for Immigration Studies tells us everything we need to know about the refugee program. Plus, Pastor Aaron Free on how God communicates. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain? All your words.
If you can hear that song without nodding your head with the music, you're better than I am. I'm telling you, I love that introduction. Listen, we're warning listener stories for Share-a-thon, the fall edition 2017. Share-a-thon's going to be October the 18th through the 20th. It's a grand time around here when we get to hear from you. So if AFR has been a blessing to you, in particular, Exploring the Word has helped you in some way, we would love to hear that testimony, so possibly it could be used during Share-a-thon. The number, if you have a story to tell us, something to share, is 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893. We've got what we call the creative department. They take those and put them together, and we hear them the weeks before Share-a-thon and the week of Share-a-thon. And I just tell you, my favorite part of Share-a-thon is hearing the listener testimonies. Always heard the best advertisement was a satisfied customer. So if it's blessed you and your life has been changed, we'd love to hear from you. And I guarantee you others would be blessed by it as well. 877-876-8893. Well, Abe, you ready to answer some questions?
I'll do my best.
Now, in your former life, you was always asking those questions, right?
Yeah, I asked a lot of questions on the witness stand and all over, so I'll do my best.
Okay, now, we're not on the witness stand, but
no,
we're on the stand, though. Okay, we're ready to give it. Okay, let's go to Arkansas and talk to Doug. Doug, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I just had a quick question. Since gay Jacob was basically practicing deceit and thievery. Why would God honor his deception when he stole Esau's blessing, birthright blessing from his father Isaac?
Okay, I can answer that question pretty good, and Abe will take a stab at it. But it's because God knows everything. Why would he save somebody like me when I was away from him and horrible from him? It's because he knew that in Bert Harper, God was going to do a work and bring about good, and he has. With Jacob, in Esau, you had a guy that was just, he was earthly, okay? Matter of fact, the whole thing, red of the earth. That he was earthly minded. We would call that carnal minded in the King James Version, fleshly. Jacob, although he was a trickster, he had a side of him that God could communicate with in a significant way. And God was able to use that. God did not ordain that. God did not sanction that. God permitted it to happen, and then he used it for good. That's Romans 8:28-29. It says God takes all things and works them for good. God doesn't cause them all, but God takes all those things and works them for good. Abe, you know what the good is? It's in verse 29, mm-hmm. where it says, whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ.
Amen.
In America, we think God works all things for good means my comfort, but that's not what it means. It means that I'm conformed, and sometimes my conformity is through pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you, God's used pain in my life, physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, relational pain,
yeah.
to form some, he's had to heal some deep crevices in my life.
Absolutely. And if you look further on, later on in Jacob's life, the Lord used some of Jacob's same wheeler dealer type ways and confronted him with them when he met old Uncle Laban. So,
and let me give you one more reason Esau would have wasted it.
Mm.
Okay? God knew that. Esau would have wasted the birthright. He would have wasted the blessing.
Mm.
And you don't want to waste what God's given. I can't help but start, but I'm a preacher, so
no,
I'm
going
to preach.
It.
You don't waste what God's given you. Don't waste the time. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste those relationships. If you're a father, I'm looking straight across to Brent. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate Brent Creeley. He's our producer. He has two beautiful girls. I'm telling you what. And Brent is not wasting his time. Man, he's out there trying to make a living, doing everything he can, but he's got that opportunity with those girls, and that just blesses me. How many children?
I have four.
Four? Okay. You don't need to waste those, do you?
Oh, I do not.
They're arrows.
Where I can.
The Bible says the arrows in the hand of a warrior.
Amen.
So that's what you want to do. Doug, I hope that gave you answer. I believe that is the truth about Esau and Jacob. It is difficult. Mm-hmm. But not all things that God does is easy. Sometimes they are difficult to understand, but he does that which is right.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Louisiana and talk to Cassandra. Cassandra, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Doing great.
Okay, I was listening to you early talking about controlling the tongue, and we have to watch what we say and what we speak and what let come out of our mouth. I feel that I've been born again. I feel that I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit. But at times, I find myself saying words that are not holy.
Yeah.
And something that speaks to my heart to say, repent right there, right now, repent. Mm. Is that the Holy Spirit?
Absolutely. I can tell you unequivocally that it is the Holy Spirit. And I want to share this. The Lord knows when we are born again, we are not immediately granted the wonderful privilege of a new mind, which is why Romans 12 says we are to renew our mind. So I would encourage you, one, to embrace the conviction of the Holy Spirit and to accompany that with replacing old verbiage with God's word. Consistent consumption of God's word will help change the things that comes out of our mouths.
I got a whole sermon called The Principle of Replacement.
Mm.
Okay, have you ever thought all the things that God desires to replace in our life that was there beforehand? One of them is our language.
Yes.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be what we call filthy talk.
Mm-hmm.
It may be angry talk.
Yeah.
And what I was referring to earlier in the earlier thoughts about when I get excited about certain things, it comes out. God's had to change my tone.
Mm.
of my voice. You catch what I'm saying?
I do.
And you say, well, that's not important. Well, the closer you walk with the Lord, the longer you let him change you, the more minutia he comes into the life to demonstrate.
I say amen to that.
Is that the experience you've had?
Yes.
It is. Cassandra, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling, and we appreciate it very, very much. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Marie. Marie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, I just wanted to know, you know, the Lord, I was listening to what you were saying to this lady, and the Lord says, be angry, but sin not.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says, you know, when you first get, you know, you get saved, or whatever you call it, born again, saved, whatever, you know, you're brand new, right? Just like a baby when he's brand new, he don't know nothing, he's just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it also he says nobody's going to be perfect. So what do you do when you know you can't be perfect? How do you, and besides that, on top of all of this, I'm illiterate. Do you think I'll make it to heaven?
Okay, Marie, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. I want to answer this. If I could sing, I'd sing, but I'll quote this song, and it's a children's song written many, many years ago, but it's still a good song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just 6 days to make the moon and the stars, the Jupiter and moon, you know, and universe and Mars, but he's still working on me. Abe, is he working on you?
He's still working on me, too.
Okay. I think what Marie is asking is a legitimate question.
Yeah.
Paul said, he referred to this quite often, and he's talking about this fight that is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Okay? Those things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. You know what the next verse is? O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I think we have, okay, let's talk about this for a second, and it has to do with the value of life. The value of life is beyond measure. In the womb, elderly, when, you know, they'd say, oh, well, there's no hope for them, you know, but you don't throw them out. You honor life. But at the same time, if we honor our own lives so much, you know, that that we miss God's desire for us. Jesus said, if you're going to really have life, you got to lose it. You got to lose your life. And matter of fact, he was talking about crucifying self. He talked about another place. Paul said, I buffet my body to keep it under subjection. So honestly, what Marie is talking about is a battle that's going on, isn't it?
It is. And I don't think it's won if you... You know you haven't born again. The Bible says the Spirit testifies with our spirit. I don't think it's one that you use to evaluate whether or not you qualify for eternal life. It's one that you recognize that it's the Spirit of God that convicts us of sin. One of the things that lets you know that you're still walking with the Lord is that you experience the conviction of the Spirit of God. So I would encourage you not to allow the Christian walk, the struggles you encounter, to cause you to question whether or not you are in the faith, but to yield to the Spirit's conviction, like we just said with Cassandra, called before you, to yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and while today is still today, to invite the Lord to change us and grow us through and beyond the struggles we encounter.
Keep a short list of unconfessed sin.
Amen.
The longer your list of confessed sins, the more difficult it is for you to feel the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Agreed.
When sin has come in and we don't confess the sin, even the language issue, your tongue, your gossip, whatever it is that God is convicting you of, and you bring it. You remember when I was talking about that hidden room?
Yeah.
If you bring all that stuff, you know, God's going to look in that hidden room. Open the door and let God look
That's
at everything
right.
in your life.
I like to say that sin is the opposite of a plant. For plants to grow, they need sunlight, exposure, and water. Well, sin is the opposite. For sin to continue to grow in our lives, keep it in the dark, hidden corners.
Ooh, man.
Exposing it kills it.
That's good stuff. Okay, let's go to Texas and talk to Lynn. Lynn, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. I had kind of a legal question. A couple things.
since the Bakers got sued for their beliefs, could they do I know it'd have to be a civil lawsuit, but could people do like a class action lawsuit, like against Bruce Springsteen?
Okay, we're going to answer that question quickly. We love to do Bible questions. Now, if Alex is here and I was here, we'd say next caller, but would you have a quick answer for that? And we appreciate you listening, calling, Lynn.
Yeah,
don't take it as I'm getting on to you, but since Abe's here, go take a stab at it.
In order to have a class action lawsuit, you'd have to have first a definable class, then you'd have to be able to make some type of proof of damages. So the short answer is more than likely no. We wouldn't be able to sue Bruce Springsteen. And secondarily, the Bakers are in another state, and each state has different sets of laws. So it's important not to try to conflate laws in one state with laws in another state. And just to do it as short and simply as I can.
So to be a host on Exploring the Word, you bring both of your credentials there, attorney and preacher. So thank you. Thank you, Lynn. I do appreciate you calling. Appreciate you listening, brother. And let's go to Arkansas and talk to Annalise. Annalise, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, I want to tell you something. The street that I live on is Annalise.
No.
Yeah, Annalise Circle is mine. And so I that's pretty neat. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, the lady that called before, Marie, did she say that she was illiterate?
No, I didn't hear her say that.
I didn't hear her say that, no.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm glad for this station and glad for your program because she saved, but she was, you know, she wanted more information. And a lot of people that listen to y'all, they need to understand the word. Now, I understand about the Esau and Jacob, and it's just so important, especially in this world today with so many things happening. It's scary out there. And so we need some place to go and to ask questions and to get comfort. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annalise. We do. You know, Exploring the Word, here's Alex, and I say it quite often. We try to have a big nationwide Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last 2 days we've had individuals call in. We need to pray for it, wasn't it, Brent? And we took time to pray for them, Abe. We try to treat this like you would have, you know, a 10-member Bible study group, you know? And we give the lesson. This is not a bad way to do a Bible lesson.
Mm-hmm.
We do about 35, 40 minutes of Bible study, and then we have a few minutes of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does help people. And it keeps us as co-hosts mm-hmm. on our toes, and it also helps us keep up our prayer life.
Amen.
You know, I pray about what I'm going to share. But, Lord, I get prepared. I said, Lord, these questions, I don't know what they'll be. I don't know where they'll come from. I don't know if it'll be someone that'll be hurting so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they've called Alex and me for a lifeline. You know, you've heard of a lifeline?
Yeah.
They've called us for a lifeline because they feel like I've got to have an answer.
Yeah. The scripture says that, to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have.
So this is the value of American Family Radio, and especially Exploring the Word. And I share this every so often, and if you've heard it before, that's all right, and you hear it again. But some of you, new listeners, you haven't heard it. Tim Wildman, our president, he said, you know, we've got all these issue-driven programs. In the middle of the afternoon, when a lot of folks are driving home, we want to have a program that concentrates on the Bible. We don't ignore the issues, but the Bible will take us to the issues.
Amen.
And see what the Bible says, and it's a word for people that calls the Word of God is sure.
Praise God.
Abe, thank you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. It was a great joy of mine to be here with you for this show.
If Alex can't do it, would you mind coming on again sometime?
I don't mind at all. It'll be my pleasure.
Amen, brother. It was good to have you. Thank you for calling today. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you so much. Tomorrow, Alex and I will be in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Be sure and listen. We want to hear about what God's doing there in Fayetteville. Tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.